It all started when I decided to go check out this random estate sale near Beverly Hills. I'm an avid collector of movie memorabilia, and this sale looked like it had a lot of potential. Turns out the guy whose house it was somebody high up at Universal Studios, who had collected everything you could possibly imagine related to memorabilia before he passed away. Signs from various theme park rides, costumes from movies, vintage screenplays, everything a connoisseur of collectible items could ever want. However, as with most of these types of sales, I would usually not just buy anything on a whim. It wasn't that I couldn't afford it, I was pretty flush from my last few props I had sold, actually. I'm just very picky with the things I get. They have to be really special to me. That was until I stumbled upon one of the best finds I had ever come across, in any sort of sale ever. It was almost unbelievable that this guy would even have something like this, just sitting around. It was a complete screen-used Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Leonardo costume from the 1990 movie. It was adorned on a mannequin and tucked in the back corner of the shed, nestled between the comic book section and a gigantic collection of Pogs. I wouldn't have even seen it, but one of the girls who was working the sale, Alice, brought me over to it. I guess she had gotten a good read on me in the first couple of minutes of us meeting, because she couldn't have shown me something I wanted to purchase more. It was like $15,000, and in really bad shape. So the price I was not totally happy with, but this was one of the most iconic movies of the 1990s. And with my type of collection, I just had to have it. I must admit, too, the fact that I could maybe keep talking to Alice about the sale influenced my purchasing decision fairly heavily. She was very attractive. So she and I walked up to the table at the front and asked the owner of the house if I could purchase the costume. To my surprise, the person running the sale even told me they would knock 50 bucks off because they didn't want to help me load it into the truck. I gladly took that offer, since I was used to loading big things into my truck anyways. Alice helped me wrap the thing up in some sheets, and I rolled it out to my truck out front, making sure I got Alice to write down her Instagram in the process. The suit was smaller than I thought and fitted in the back nicely. To be honest, I secretly wished that it could fit me, but I guess the turtles were much smaller off-screen than they looked in the movie. The first few days after bringing it home were uneventful. I placed the suit in my man cave, which was filled with memorabilia from various comic book and movie franchises. Frequently throughout the day, I'd stop to admire it, allowing the childhood memories to flood back in with each glance. Then one morning, I found the mannequin toppled over. The costume sprawled out on the floor. I assumed it was my cat, Mr. Whiskers, with his usual nighttime shenanigans, though he normally steered clear of the man cave. I set the suit upright, dismissing the incident, and went about my day. But then the suit moved again. This time, I found it in the hallway, outside the man cave, just standing there, gazing across the hall. A chill ran down my spine, but I rationalized it, thinking it must have been a prank done by my family, since they were all over at the house the day before, and my nephews were going in that room constantly. I didn't feel like moving it back since the rubber was so fragile. I was afraid I might tear something, and it looked okay in the hallway anyway. Over the coming days, these incidents became more frequent and disturbing from there on out. Once I woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of shuffling outside my bedroom, I looked out into the hall to see the suit still positioned in the same spot in the hallway. Then one night I had a few friends over, including Alice, who I had been hanging out with the past couple weeks. I decided to have a pool party out back, which was great, as I finally stopped thinking about the stupid rubber suit in my house for at least a couple hours. As the night went on, we all had a blast. The drinks were flowing and the music was blaring. But then the party died down and I told two of our friends, who were highly intoxicated, that they could stay over on the guest bed. We walked back into the house and once they had laid down, I went around the house to lock up and nearly dropped my keys with what I saw. There, at the end of my dimly lit hallway, stood the Leonardo suit. Except this time, it wasn't just passively standing, it was posed. One hand extended as if caught in mid-motion. The other, clutching what looked eerily like one of my kitchen knives. The scene was surreal, like a freeze frame from a horror film. I froze, not sure what to do or how to react. The rational part of my brain screamed that it was impossible, that it must have been someone at the party. But the empty house and the fact that no one ever mentioned it to me suggested something else. I approached cautiously, my heart pounding in my chest, half expecting the suit to move. But it remained still as a stone. I grabbed the knife, pulling it from the suit's grip, and retreated to the living room, where Alice was hanging out as well. Considering I got to spend some time with her, I was able to somewhat put the costume out of my mind. She left later, though, and at that point, my anxiety really started to get bad. I even ended up going over and putting a sheet on top of the turtle, just to make me feel better. Which I'm not even sure why it did. The next morning I woke up early, still feeling the effects of the previous night's terror and the lack of sleep. However, when I opened the door to my room, the hallway was empty. The suit was no longer there. My mind raced as I searched the house, but there was no sign of the Leonardo costume. It was as if it had vanished into thin air. Then I went to check on my friends who had stayed the night, and the guest room was totally silent. I grew fearful as I called their names, and no one answered. The guest bed, where they should have been, was neatly made, but the window was slightly open. I searched the rest of the house, finding no trace of anyone. Their phones and keys were still on the kitchen counter, though, indicating they hadn't left on their own. That was when I noticed something odd up on the stove. A large crock pot, which I hadn't used since the previous Thanksgiving, was up on the stove and seemed to be boiling something. Confusion overwhelmed me as I lifted the lid, revealing a sight that I wasn't prepared for. It was a putrid concoction that resembled soup, only with some kind of strange-looking organ-type meat floating inside. Then a human finger rose to the surface as well. I stumbled back, noticing that the wooden counter had dried blood all over it. Nearly vomiting, the room seemed like it was spinning around me. In a state of total shock, I called the police, my hands trembling as I tried to explain the situation without sounding insane. They were skeptical of me, understandably, questioning the logical impossibility of a human being cooked into a soup in my kitchen without me even knowing about it. They suggested that maybe it was someone at the party who did it, after I had gone to sleep. But I could tell they really thought it was me, considering they said not to leave the county. I knew that they would be back for me, and if I couldn't figure out some kind of alternative story, I was likely going to go down for this thing. They made me leave my house for a couple days and stay at my parents', until they had the results of the DNA tests. Luckily, some of the initial terror had worn off a bit from the whole ordeal, and I could relax a little in my house again. I called Alice to try and tell her what had happened, but I wasn't getting a response. The weird thing was that I heard a phone buzz in the hallway near my room when I called her. When I walked back there, I found the Leonardo costume was in the hallway again, only this time it was covered in blood. Its rotting and torn face just gazing down the hall at me as if mocking my existence. I approached it and poked it with an umbrella, somehow trying to test if it was alive. Which again, I don't even know why that was a good test for that. I guess I just didn't know what else to do. At that point, I tried calling Alice again, and a phone buzzed from inside a storage closet behind the costume. Opening the closet, I saw a comforter, a change of clothes, and what was unmistakably a burner phone sitting on top of it. When I opened it up, I noticed the background was a selfie of someone wearing the turtle suit, covered in blood. Next to the phone, there was a handwritten note with the words, "Hope you liked the turtle soup." The most horrifying part, though, was that it was unmistakably written in Alice's handwriting. I ended up being arrested for the murders of my two friends, and Alice is nowhere to be found. In fact, I'm pretty sure that was not even her real name. However, I heard that a strange male and female couple purchased the Ninja Turtle costume from the auction after the FBI repossessed all my stuff. So let's just say that I have a feeling that she's probably somewhere making her famous turtle soup.